Hello, this is photographer Neil Kremer, and you're listening to the Petapixel Photography Podcast with Sharky James. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 83. Cool new Photoshop CC features, and Adobe gets freaky deaky promoting them. In this episode, cool new features come to Photoshop CC. But what's up with Adobe's way of promoting them? Details from Hasselblad's big announcement. Western Digital cuts the cord, again. Ricoh buys iFi's cloud service. And a noted photographer passes away. All that and more in episode 83 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much, Neil, for opening the show. I greatly appreciate it, brother. If you haven't seen the photography of Neil Kremer, you have been missing out. Once you view his amazing work, you'll instantly see just how much work goes into each and every photograph. Not just the usual hair, makeup, lighting, and great subjects, but extensive set building and location scouting, along with an amazing amount of time, effort, and thought put into every single image that he creates. If you watch the behind-the-scenes videos on his site at kremerjohnson.com, you'll see what I'm talking about. That's kremerjohnson.com. Neil has raised the bar extremely high for us, and I think you're going to be blown away by what you see there. You know what? You might even cry a little bit, because Neil shows us just how much work we have to do, folks. It's amazing. You got to check out his work. Before we get into the show, I want to let you guys know, once again, I was on This Week in Photo with host Frederick Van Johnson, and this time, the amazing Juan Pons. We had a lot of fun, as we usually do, maybe too much fun, and at one point, I think I embarrassed myself. My face got quite red, so that's worth watching the video for right there. But definitely check that out, thisweekinphoto.com. Look for episode 470 this Friday. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 83 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you all for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. And like I've said, it's that subscribing part that's really important. Go ahead, hit that subscribe button, make sure you get every episode, and that greatly helps us out. And as always, we appreciate you telling your friends on social media and elsewhere and helping to get the word out about this show. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. One of the biggest reasons to drop $10 a month and get the Adobe Creative Cloud Photography Plan is all the useful tools you get by being on a subscription model. Now, personally, I'm on the $50 a month plan because I need a handful of Adobe's other apps. But for $10 a month, even as slow as I and others say Lightroom currently is, being able to take advantage of updates as they crank them out is just awesome. Now, in a recent episode, we told you that Content Aware Crop was coming to Photoshop. And by we, I mean me, of course. And you'll be happy to hear that Photoshop CC 2015.15 is out. It's in there, and it's awesome. But in addition to that cool feature, the decades-old Photoshop gets some speed and performance boost, and that's always appreciated, of course. One of these days, I'm hopefully going to be reporting the same about Lightroom. But in the meantime, it's crickets on that front. The company says that in this latest update to Photoshop CC, users will see up to a 3x performance improvement when working with fonts and content-aware fill. Hey, speed updates, performance updates, always, always appreciated, Adobe. Also in this update, though, is a really funky feature called Face Aware Liquify. You know, we live in an era where facial recognition is everywhere, so why not in Photoshop, right? And with this new feature, Photoshop more easily helps you distort a human face by knowing what the various features look like so you can alter them without messing up the rest of the face. It's spooky, but it's pretty darn cool. It's not something you're going to use all the time. Your kids might like it, especially if they use Snapchat filters. But for the rest of us, it's going to be something you bust out maybe once or twice a year. There's also some selection and mask enhancements, but they're incredibly boring. And for those of you that are driving right now, I don't want you to fall asleep and run off the road or worse. So I'm going to skip that. I'd rather it be dead to me than you. Now, what many are going to be happy about is that they're bringing back the legacy healing brush. The new healing brush was introduced in December 2015. And well, after years of using the old one, people made us think about it. So it's back. All you have to do is go into your preferences, then select tools, and then choose Legacy Healing Brush, and you're good to go. Quite a few more things were updated in this release, and if you'd like to see the full list, hit the show notes for episode 83 at petapixel.com/podcast to check those out. And of course, to get all these new features, you have to be a Creative Cloud subscriber for Photoshop in one package or another, or individually, actually. And then you go and you update the program, and you're good to go with all the new fun stuff in it. Now, I warn you ahead of time, if you use the new Face Aware Liquify, you're probably going to waste hours just messing around with your photos. And hopefully you're listening to the podcast while you're doing so. Go ahead and binge listen. It's fun. Okay, now, along with these cool new features in Adobe Photoshop CC came a very odd and extremely edgy video out of Adobe, which mimics the 1-900 lines of the 1990s, ones I can't describe here on the podcast because I want to maintain that clean rating, along with a website that didn't exactly help the cause at all. This thing was bizarre. And apparently Adobe reconsidered because the video has now been pulled offline. And the equally odd website promoting it now redirects to their Photoshop product page instead. The 1-900 U update craziness seems a little bit odd for Adobe to be doing. I mean, why put forth all the effort to promote some cool, but not exactly earth-shattering features with a weird video and website? I mean, it's just bizarre. Again, many, myself included, are saying that Lightroom is slow, and it is. But Adobe is spending all this money and resources on making cheesy, risque videos and websites to promote some new features in Photoshop. It's just goofy. The description for the video didn't help at all either. It said, quote, "We've got a confession. There's a hot new version of Photoshop that's been waiting for you to give it a try. So don't wait any longer. Update today to make your wildest creative dreams come true." End quote. Now, I should have had my wife read that. That would have been a lot sexier. But in the meantime, you got me. Deal with it. What I want to know is who is approving this stuff over at Adobe? Larry Flint? I mean, come on. Next. In episode 82, we told you about rumors that high-end camera maker Hasselblad would be announcing a new camera soon, and that many, myself included, thought it would be a mirrorless medium format body. And well, that was true. At their live streaming event on Wednesday, June 22nd, 2016, the company known for many decades for its incredible medium format camera and lenses announced the Hasselblad X1D, the world's first compact medium format camera, ushering in a whole new era for the company. This new camera is pretty darn thin, about half the weight of a traditional medium format camera, yet packs a 50 megapixel resolution sensor into a body that you can handhold and operate much like a DSLR or another mirrorless body. According to company CEO Perry Oesting, quote, "The X1D marks a pivotal point in Hasselblad's rich 75-year history. This camera makes medium format photography available to a new generation of Hasselblad users while pushing the existing limits to new heights." End quote. Inside the weather and dust sealed body is a 50 megapixel CMOS medium format sensor that boasts 14 stops of dynamic range with ISO sensitivity from 100 on up to 25,600. If you're a current Hasselblad user hoping it'll take your current lenses without having to use an adapter, you'll be disappointed to hear that you're going to need one of those, and it uses an entirely new line of lenses called XCD, which features an integral central shutter. This new body can handle shutter speeds from as slow as 60 minutes to as quick as 1/2000th of a second, and flashes can sync up to 1/2000th of a second as well. When this system starts shipping in August 2016, there'll be just two lenses to choose from, the 45mm f3.5 and the 90mm f4.5, but if you're invested in the company's H-System glass, like I said, all 12 of those lenses can be used with the X1D via an adapter. So that's 14 lenses that you have available from the start, should you buy an X1D. This camera features a Nikon-compatible hot shoe, a 3-inch 920,000-dot touchscreen LCD, a very nice 2.36 million-dot XGA electronic viewfinder, also known as an EVF. You gotta remember, this is a mirrorless camera here. Dual SD card slots, GPS, Wi-Fi, 1080p HD video that can shoot 30p, a USB 3.0 Type-C connector, and a mini HDMI port. I think it's pretty interesting that this thing shoots video. I mean, considering the format, what exactly are you going to do there? Is it going to crop a 16:9? That's still going to be a lot of pixels, but I don't know. It's kind of weird. I think the X1D is a pretty cool camera in that it's an interesting concept. But when you hear the price, of course, you're going to see that these cameras just aren't meant for your average photographer. These cameras, of course, are going to be a huge hit with doctors and dentists and other people that can afford to buy these things and keep their Leica's company on the mantle. But seriously, though, they're pricey. It's going to be a long time before most people can afford to shoot mirrorless medium format. Medium format in general is pretty darn expensive. The Hasselblad X1D itself goes for $8,995 US or $11,290 in a kit with the 45mm f3.5 or $13,985 with both the 45mm f3.5 and that 90mm f4.5. Otherwise, that 45 will go for $2,295 and the 90 comes in at $2,695. So in other words, about $9,000 US for the camera and $2,000 and change for pretty much every lens that you're going to want on this thing. Now they're saying that more lenses are on the way, of course, and specifically at that big Photokina show in Germany this September 2016, a 30mm lens will be out. I think the X1D looks like a cool camera, and for those that can afford it, I'm sure they're really going to enjoy it. But this is a camera system that is far outside the reach for most people, of course. I think if you give it 5 to 10 years or so, medium format and specifically mirrorless medium format will be more within reach for the rest of us, but for right now, it's pretty darn pricey. But don't forget, there have been rumors that Sony is going to have a mirrorless medium format system either sometime in 2016, probably at the Photokina show, or maybe in 2017, and those are going to be considerably less expensive than the Hasselblad system, of course. Still pricey, but nowhere near as expensive. Overall, I think this is going to be a great camera system. Hasselblad is going to sell them like there's no tomorrow. It's pretty darn cool stuff. And the images that come out of them are surely going to be amazing. I mean, we're talking about Hasselblad here. So maybe I'll get my hands on one and try it out at some point because I think that'd be a lot of fun. Next. Surely you've all heard of hard drive giant Western Digital. They're so large that just this last month in May 2016, they acquired SanDisk. SanDisk, of course, amongst other things, makes SD cards and such for your cameras, along with SSD drives for your computer. These days, everything seems to be going wireless, and amazingly, and perhaps not surprisingly, so are hard drives. After all, if you think about it, we're used to sending and receiving data through the air via our smartphones, through Wi-Fi on the smartphones, as well as our tablets, laptops, and even desktop computers. So a wireless hard drive makes total sense, of course. Now, I think it freaks a lot of people out, though. You're sending a lot of data through the air, hoping it makes it to the hard drive as it was sent. But these days, that's not a problem anymore. Well, the company has released its Western Digital My Passport Wireless Pro, and it's pretty sweet. It features built-in Wi-Fi, an SD card slot, and a USB connection so you can hook up any USB card reader should you choose to do so. This is a really powerful solution for photographers who are shooting on location, as well as being great for those that are home or in the office. Don't want a hard drive on your desk? No problem. Put it in another room and call it good. As long as wherever it is, it can pick up the Wi-Fi signal, of course. Now, you may recall that Western Digital released its first wireless hard drive back in 2014, but the WD My Passport Wireless was a bit of an exercise in frustration, as it wasn't quite speedy enough for most people. The new Western Digital Wireless Pro, however, seems to be the real deal. Wi-Fi speeds are much improved, being able to transfer at 20 megabytes per second, more than double what the older model can do. The SD card slot got a massive speed boost, and now it's able to transfer at 75 megabytes per second versus the 10 megabytes per second of the previous model. That's 7.5 times faster and very much appreciated. Also very nice is the battery is now twice the size, and that is going to be so helpful for photographers on the go. It has USB 3.0 and 2.0 ports built in, so if your camera actually takes compact flash or XQD, something other than SD cards, all you need to do is plug in your favorite card reader and you're good to go. Now, if you're an Adobe Creative Cloud user, you're going to be happy to hear that this new drive will allow you to transfer straight into your Adobe account with ease. That's pretty cool too. They're currently available in 2 and 3 terabyte versions for $230 and $250 US respectively. And honestly, if you don't drop the extra $20 and get the 3 terabyte version, I'm never going to talk to you again. I mean, come on. Seriously, $20 more for an additional terabyte of storage? That would be insane to pass up. Go without your latte for a couple days or something and get yourself an extra terabyte. For real. I mean, come on. Next. If you use iFi's cloud service, you may be interested to know that the service, which was launched in April of 2014 by the Wi-Fi-enabled SD card maker, has been sold to camera and electronics giant Ricoh. They've acquired the photo hosting product from the company under financial terms which were not disclosed, and iFi CEO Matt Damara tells PDN that under Ricoh's ownership, they'll receive the same level of service they become accustomed to. In an email to iFi cloud users regarding this deal, Ricoh says, quote, "The unique blending of technology and expertise creates new opportunities to enhance value for our customers. The iFi cloud team will immediately join Ricoh and is excited about bringing even more innovations to our customers around the world. We are dedicated to maintaining and increasing the quality, support, and service that you have come to know from our team. One thing will remain the same, our passion for photography and protecting your valuable memories." End quote. If you're wondering exactly what iFi Cloud is, it's basically a service that allows photographers to sync and backup photos to the cloud via Macs, PCs, tablets, and smartphones. From there, you're able to organize and search for your photos, edit them, and share them out. It's pretty cool. It's not super exciting stuff, but hey, as a backup solution, it's not too bad. What is really cool, however, are iFi's SD cards, which add Wi-Fi functionality to your camera. But with so many cameras now having Wi-Fi in them, iFi cards are becoming less relevant over time, I think. So who knows where that leaves the company, but selling off its cloud service to Ricoh is pretty interesting. What are they going to do with all that cash now? You know, perhaps they have something else in mind that they're going to be developing, and all that money is definitely going to help in that regard. Next. I'm saddened to report that noted Chinese photographer Fan Ho has passed. The 84-year-old photographer died of pneumonia on Sunday, June 19, 2016, at a hospital in San Jose, California. At age 13 in 1944, Ho began shooting photos when his father gave him a Rolleiflex twin reflex camera and he fell in love with photography. During his teen years in the 1950s, after having moved to Hong Kong, Ho began documenting life on the streets of that energetic, never dull city and soon found himself winning hundreds of photography awards and getting the attention of photography lovers around the globe. His photos soon began appearing in publications and media outlets from the New York Times to the BBC, and he was considered to be one of the most influential photographers in Asia, and many regard him as being one of the best in the world. The photographer set a personal auction record in late 2015 when a print of his photo entitled Approaching Shadow was sold at auction for $48,000 US. I think it is a beautiful photo and definitely worth the effort to Google it and have a look. Just type in Approaching Shadow and be amazed. It is really, really good. We're talking the kind of photo that you wish was hanging on your wall and actually you wish you had shot yourself, because if you can get $48,000 for it, that's a good chunk of change. It's such a simple but amazing photo and definitely worth having a look at. Fan Ho, master of light and shadow, and one of the greats, dead at age 84. R.I.P., brother. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 83 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show. Or if you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail, feel free to email me at lenshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, and I hope you do, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook where I'm Lenshark. That's LenSshark. And don't forget, if you haven't subscribed to the show yet, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Make sure you get every episode, and I'd greatly appreciate that. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 84. Well, it's f8 2/50 of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.
one of the biggest bullets to drop. Bullets? What was I trying to say there? One of the biggest bullets to drop.